Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays from Away podcast, episode 35.
Got this force coming through in my blood, in my veins, it's a current of love.
In this episode, we bring you some of our spring training interviews, starting with Max Pentecost, Connor Green, and Matt Smurow. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen, and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays from Away podcast. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast on the new Blue Jays from Away. Coming soon is the 2015 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook, which will give you the lowdown on every player in the Blue Jays minor league system, as well as information on the teams, their staff, and their schedules. It will also include a wrap-up of the 2014 draft, while also profiling over 250 players in the Jays organization. The handbook comes out in early April and will be paired with the new premium content section of Blue Jays from Away. The premium content section will include player profiles, scouting reports, photos, and video. Updated regularly throughout the 2015 season, a Blue Jays from Away premium content subscription, along with the 2015 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook, will give you the most comprehensive coverage of the Blue Jays minor league system anywhere. First up in today's podcast is our interview with Blue Jays 2014 first-round pick Max Pentecost. That's followed by our interview with pitching prospect Connor Green, who talks about his pitching progress and his burgeoning acting career. We also spoke to 21-year-old lefty Matt Smurow, who had his best season as a pro with the Bluefield Blue Jays and the Vancouver Canadiens in 2014. Welcome back to the Blue Jays from Away podcast. I'm joined by Max Pentecost, catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. Welcome to the podcast.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So first things first, Max, we were talking with Jeff Hoffman about the Cape Cod League, and we know you had a great summer there. And, you know, we were asking Jeff about what it was like pitching to batters with wooden bats. So, you know, as a hitter, what's it like going from the metal bats in college ball to the wooden bats in one of these summer leagues?
Well, growing up, I always for some reason felt more comfortable with wood. I don't know if it was the way the ball sounded off the bat or what it was, but it was definitely going to the Cape was a very big jump from college, like a regular college season. You know, we'd face a good pitcher once or twice in a weekend, but up there, you know, every pitcher is going to be really good. And I had to make some adjustments to my swing, which I think is what really helped me my junior year of college, too. So some of the stuff I learned up there wasn't really getting, you know, better with my swing or my athleticism. It was just making a mental adjustment, fixing a little bit of a tweak here and there in my swing. And I also got a lot out of it from the catching standpoint. I was able to work with a bunch of pitchers who, you know, very, very excelled in their pitch location, maybe a little bit sharper curveball. So doing that was also really beneficial in my junior season.
Can you tell us what it's like when you start catching those guys who throw harder and have the sharper breaking balls? What do you have to do to adjust just to be able to do your job better?
At that point, I felt like just relaxing was the main thing. Sometimes, if you know a guy's got a really good curveball and you're anticipating it, you know, you might either jab at it, anticipate it being in the dirt, but just sit back, relax and react, I think was the best thing. Once I got that through my head, it was a whole lot easier just to catch, frame. It just, the whole atmosphere of catching at that point became a little bit clearer in my head, and things just became easier.
Now, you played your college ball at Kennesaw State University. There is a current Blue Jay who's from that university. So what can you tell us about Chad Jenkins from what you heard about him in college?
Well, all we heard, you know, at that point was Chad was a first rounder. And I never got to see him play, but I just heard just how dominant he was at that time. And at that time, it was before we had just switched to D1, so they couldn't make the postseason play. And we actually had two first-rounders as starters for that team. And it would have been real interesting to see what they could have done in the postseason with those starters. So it was always, like, once we made it to the we made it back-to-back championship games of the conference tournament my freshman and sophomore year. And we realized then, you know, what they probably could have done with a pitcher like that. And coach always talked about him, talked about his work ethic, how he really, you know, he put the work in the weight room. And that's kind of what seemed to turn his career around. And that and the maturity level just kind of all combined. And that's what he'd use as an example.
Now, you were drafted in the first round, and so was Chad. So it gives us two Blue Jays players and who were drafted in the first round out of Kennesaw State. But, you know, what does that tell you? He's a guy who, you know, he's still struggling to stick at the major league level. He's been up and down with Buffalo. He's performed very well when he's had a chance. But does that sort of show you a little bit of how tough this game really is?
Definitely. I mean, you see a guy like that who absolutely dominated in college, and he's still at the point where, you know, he's bouncing back and forth. And you know he has the stuff. It's just a matter of consistency. And I think that's the biggest thing that you got to learn.
Now, you've come to the Blue Jays organization, and you had a chance to play last year down here in the Gulf Coast League and then a little bit up in Vancouver. Can you tell us about what that was like, first, you know, making that first adjustment to professional ball, even if it was in the Gulf Coast League, and then what it was like going up to Canada and up to Vancouver to play in front of those crowds?
Starting out in the GCL, it was a little different experience than in college. It was a lot like the Cape, but, I mean, you got someone throwing really hard, but their command might not be there. So that was really tough hitting. And then once I got to Vancouver, it was more like the Cape. You know, you got the college pitchers who they're older, they have a little bit more command and feel for their pitches. So in a way, it almost became easier because it seemed like they were around the strike zone a little more. But at the same time, you know, they know how to pitch. They can locate, and that's really how you get people out.
And when you were in Vancouver, was there any pitcher that you caught that you were like, wow, this guy's just electric?
Castro, Miguel Castro. He, you probably saw the game last night where he dealt against the Yankees, but he had some very, very good stuff. And I've never caught anyone with that kind of live action fastball. And it was a different experience. You know, it's one of those where you can't just – it was tough to go out there and just catch him for the first time. I had to get comfortable with him and realize, you know, what his stuff did, his mechanics, if he was off a little bit. But he was real fun to catch and kind of broke me into the professional pitching.
Now, I've heard that you're very athletic when you're catching and very mobile. I've heard you get up the line to back up throws almost as fast as some of the runners do. Is that something that was drilled into you in college?
It started way before that. My dad, I used to catch, I think I started when I was 11 or 12. You know, he always wanted me to beat the runner to first base. So that's what I always try to do. And it really shows sometimes if there's like a pass ball. It might happen once every five games, but when it does happen, people actually notice it. So I think just showing how much you care for the game and that not just slacking on the little things. So I think that when it comes back around to you, it looks good.
Now, the other side of that may be, you know, you want to conserve your energy and because it's a tough game back there, and it does, you know, and especially on those hot August days, especially down here in Florida, it can really grind you down. But obviously, I'm sure you don't want to let your hustle suffer because of that.
Yeah. Well, I try to stay in real good shape for that reason. I love to run sprints and stuff like that, just for occasions like that where my body doesn't give out. And also, you know, after a game, if you rehydrate, get all the stuff back in the body that you lost during the game, that you can come back and prepare for the next day just as well.
So here's another question for you. Did you guys go to the College World Series last year in
Not
Omaha?
Not the College World Series. We went to the Super Regional at Louisville, but we lost the first two games there, and they ended up going to the College World Series.
But you did have a chance. You came close to a conference title in a couple of years as well.
My freshman and sophomore year, yes, we made it to the championship game in the conference tournament. Ended up losing both times, but junior year the team we had, it was unreal. We just went on a run and swept through the tournament and just kept it going.
And does that make you more hungry and make the victory more sweet when you just miss a couple of years and then you finally win the conference? And then is it still a little bit tough when you just sort of miss going to Omaha?
It is, but from the way we started out the season to the way we ended it was one of the biggest turnarounds I've ever seen. I've never been a part of a team where we came together like that and just played our hearts out. So as a mid-major school, making it that far and getting on that kind of a level with the other teams, I think it showed a lot for us.
And last year with the Vancouver Canadiens, you guys also got close, but no cigar, almost made it a fourth consecutive Northwest League title. What was that like playing in front of those crowds in Vancouver towards the end of the season?
Well, I actually went there the last 2 weeks. I had already come back down to rehab my shoulder. And the time I was there, probably about a month, it was, you couldn't ask for a better atmosphere between the weather, all the fans. I mean, it was Tuesday at 3 o'clock and the place is almost packed. You can't get any better than that. And I was rooting them on from here and hoping they'd win it, but fell just short. But it was a great experience.
All right, well, I'm going to let you get going, and thanks for joining us. It's Max Pentecost, catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'm joined by Connor Green, a pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. Welcome to the podcast, Connor.
Thank you very much, Mike.
So the first thing I want to ask you, Connor, is what do you think the Blue Jays saw in you? What do you think the pro teams who were scouting you saw in you when you were back in high school?
I was a long, lanky, test tube-looking kid, and I think they saw a lot of projectability and some good things, some decent velocity, and some pitches that needed work, but they definitely had a lot to work with, and so I'm working on that now.
And now you've been in the Jays system for a couple years now, and you had some good success last year. And what was that like pitching in your first pro season?
Good competition. All the teams were great players everywhere and really good coaching. So if anything, I could just say it was a great experience getting out of the GCL and starting to pitch in front of fans and under the lights.
And you got a fair amount of time last year in Bluefield, did you like, I know you're a California boy, did you like the experience in the sort of small town Appalachia? Was that a fun thing for you?
It actually was a very nice experience, because whether at the small town diner, anywhere, you actually get some recognition from the people. And in a big city like Los Angeles, where I'm from, it's, you just get lost, and so it's really nice having that small town feel.
So you have an interesting off-season job, I guess, that you've done some modeling, you've done some acting. Was that something you actually got into before you were really serious about baseball?
I had always had it as a, not a passion, but just as something that I enjoyed. So, but baseball was always my number one. I've had some good help along the way, and it's just it's an easy thing to do on the side. If a job opportunity is open, I'm always happy to take it.
And it's also easy to fit into the off season, isn't it? Because you don't have to commit to a long term project if you're not available for it.
Exactly. I can do my own schedule, and if I get a job opportunity, I can say yes and I can turn it down. So usually I don't, because obviously, you know, I'd like to take every job I can.
You know, doing some research on you,
over the past winter, you know, we discovered that you do have some connections to a famous actor who actually was in a baseball movie. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Charlie definitely did Major League and Major League 2. He's a really good guy. He's helped me along just with getting into the entertainment scene, good advice with just, you know, the ins and outs, and all along he's just a good guy to have on your side.
Do you take any pitching advice from him?
You know, I talk to him more about the pitching. He's a good hitter. He hits from the left side, and I've taken some BP with him, and you'd be surprised. He's got a lot of pop in that swing. So,
now, is there anything that you can sort of take from the acting side of your life and actually implement it when you're playing baseball? And, you know, is there any crossover? Are there any skills that build on each other?
Definitely just controlling your nerves out there. Like, on the field, I've actually probably implemented more of my baseball knowledge into the acting, just because you're out there and you have your game face on. You can't show too much emotion out there. So if I'm nervous going into some extra job or anything I'm doing, you know, I kind of keep that same poker face going.
Now, I know that in acting, having taken a couple of acting classes back when I was in college, it's a big thing to stay in the moment and really focus on what's going on so that you can present, you know, a sense of reality in what you're experiencing as an actor and as a character. Is that, you know, applicable to baseball as well, where if you're not in the moment and focusing on the individual pitch, then the situation can get out of hand quickly?
Yeah, being emotional is a huge, huge aspect in the game, in acting and in the game of baseball. Not being overly emotional and keeping it in control is huge in both.
So I saw your bullpen session this morning, and can you tell us what you were working on in particular?
We are working a lot on extension side pitches, just controlling that fastball, the arm and extension side. And that's about it. I feel good with my changeup, and curveball's coming along well, so just dotting up.
So when do you expect to be pitching again on the baseball field?
I will be in a game in 2 days, and I'll be pitching 2 innings, and, you know, just going to go out there and do what I normally do, just try and keep the ball low, maybe a 0-2 count elevated a little bit, but otherwise just pitch to contact, try and get quick outs.
And do you have any goals for yourself this upcoming season?
I would like to just keep on moving. That's really my ultimate goal, is just, you know, never get stuck and never get happy with where I am.
Well, thank you very much. That's Connor Green, a pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays minor league system. Thanks for joining us, Connor. Welcome back to the Blue Jays from Away podcast. I'm joined by Matt Smorrell, left-handed pitcher extraordinaire for the Toronto Blue Jays minor league system. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So you're down here in Florida. You're enjoying the weather. You guys have a lighter day today. So what are you going to go do once you guys are finished here at the complex?
Man, well, I'd like to go out and do some fishing, but today is actually my birthday. He got me on my birthday. So one of my uncle's coming up. I'm going to have dinner with him and just relax, enjoy the day, and get ready for tomorrow.
So I think all of our listeners they won't be hearing this on your birthday. It's going to take a few days to get up on the podcast, but we're all going to collectively wish you a happy birthday to you, Matt. I won't sing because we don't want to hear that. So you're going to have a nice birthday dinner with your uncle. Parents can't be here, I guess.
Yeah, they're coming in about a week later, so we'll celebrate then. But, yeah, just take it easy. And we got a lot of long days, so it's nice to just, you know, rest and just keep, you know, get prepared for the next one. So,
now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a fairly big birthday for you, is it? It's 21, isn't it?
Yeah, 21 this year. But, I mean, I forgot on my way over here this morning that it was my birthday, but, you know. All the days seem the same. So.
So you're into the routine, and your birthday comes and goes, and you don't even realize it's, I'm of legal age to drink in the United States now.
Yep, No, I mean, we're so tied up and in such a routine here that all the day is just kind of mushed together, and you don't really know if it's Wednesday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday. So, but yeah, so.
I everybody talks about the grind of minor league baseball, and having been around the Jays minor league system for a couple of years and seeing players and talking to players from different at different levels, it doesn't change. But is there something, you know, a little bit more special once the games start going? And hopefully this year you'll be in Lansing, hopefully, that so you can actually get the games going in April.
I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, when you're playing under the lights, when you're playing in a stadium, you know, with fans, and it's a different ball game. You know, you're competing, and that's what it's all about. And it is a grind. You know, sometimes it's tough on the body, but I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think I speak for all of us that, you know, we love the game, and so it does get, you know, difficult at times, or, you know, different. But there's nothing else I'd rather be doing. You know, trying to, you know, work my way to achieving my dream of hopefully playing in the big leagues one day. So.
Now, you were playing under the lights and in two very different environments last year. You started off with the Bluefield Blue Jays and had quite a bit of success there before moving up to Vancouver. You know, can you tell the listeners, I know there are a lot of listeners from Vancouver in that area who really love the Canadians, and can you tell us what's the difference between, the playing conditions, the environment in Bluefield and the one that you had in Vancouver?
It's a big difference, but... I love Bluefield. I really did. I enjoyed my time there. But to go up to Vancouver, to be in that city and, you know, have every game sold out, I mean, it was just second to none. I mean, it was an unbelievable experience. And, you know, the fans up there, they're not just, your typical fans. I mean, they're there to watch baseball, and they know baseball, and they love the Jays. So it was just a fantastic place to play.
Now, is there... you know, any one particular experience that you had in Vancouver that sort of stood out that you might not have gotten at another place?
Man, I mean, just being able to be in the playoff race and being at Hunt and, you know, be listening to the Vancouver sports radio and, you know, hear him talking about the team, to just realize how big that team is there in Vancouver. And, you know, just when I got to pitch that the clinching game, and then, you know, I also had the opportunity in the championship, and didn't go as I would like, but just that playing that type of baseball, I think, is just something, especially in the minor leagues, you don't get that often, where, you know, the team was just had come together, and, you know, we just wanted to win so bad. And I think it's good because it prepares you for ultimately what you want to do in the big leagues, and that's win, so cause that's what it's about.
Now, the Blue Jays drafted you out of high school, and you didn't play right away. Can you tell the listeners about why that was?
Well, when I was drafted, I had foot surgery that spring, and I came in and, you know, rehabbed that and stuff, and just, we took it real slow, and I pitched that instructs, and I really didn't get my feet wet that year, but... the next year, I was able to, and I stayed down here, and learned a lot, and just want to keep progressing as my years go on, and like I said, just keep chipping away and refining my game into what it needs to be to ultimately play at that high level. So,
and since you mentioned that you're trying to refine your game, like, what are you working on? What do you think you need to do to be able to keep moving up the ladder?
I mean, definitely consistency. I mean, I think that's the biggest difference between some of, us in the lower levels and the guys in AA or AAA. They're very consistent, and they're consistent with their fastball command, with their breaking balls. And, so that's number one. And the second goes right along with that, is just improving that fastball command and just getting ahead of guys. When I'm ahead of guys, I usually don't have any trouble. So those are just the two biggest things I'm trying to work on. So.
Now, I saw you pitching yesterday against the Phillies team. What did you think about that outing for yourself?
Well, first out in the spring, I got out there and, didn't start off how I would have liked. But, I think I kind of got all that behind me. And the second thing, I was able to come out again and pitch like I did, last year, and I really, you know, was not upset at all about the outing because, you know, I finished strong, and I think that, you know, I'll be able to just take that into my next outings here this spring and, you know, hopefully put together a couple good ones. So,
now, was there something that you sort of did in between innings when you, I guess you reset, you had a chance to yeah. reset, and is there anything specific that you might have talked about with a coach or with your catchers?
I mean, honestly, no, it's just the mental approach when I'm out there. And having that type of focus and intensity, where you know you don't care what's going on, you know, around you. All you're focused on is getting the hitter out. And you know, we haven't been in games for a while, and that's a real big thing for me. And you know, that second inning, I was able to go out there and just kind of just refocus and just really dial in, and I felt much better. So, yeah.
Well, obviously, that's a great feeling to go into your next outing with. So we're going to let you get going today, but thanks very much for joining us. It's Matt Smorale, pitcher in the Toronto Blue Jays organization. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks again. Glad to be on.
That's it for episode number 35 of the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'd like to thank Max Pentecost, Connor Green, and Matt Smorale. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Jays From Away. Come on back soon, and go Jays go. Raise up your head. Higher, higher, raise up your head.